VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
It's Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are having a few little technical difficulties this morning. I will apologize in advance and see if we can't work them out. My phone lines here in the magnificent studios out at the beach, meaning my home office, are giving us a little static. So if you're not hearing it well, please tell Alan when you call in. And if it's only on our side, we might ask you to repeat something or shout. But maybe it'll go away, too. You never know. Anyway, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. Thanks for all the regulars still being there. I know there's a lot of people sitting home because we don't have much choice. And hopefully you can spend that time having a little bit of something to learn in the morning. There's a lot going on, nothing short of unbelievable what's going on out there. Never thought we'd live through anything like this, but unlike some things, this will pass, and I'm quite sure of that. Meanwhile, we'll bring you up to date on what's going on and talk about some topics of interest, and Adam and I are really looking forward to it, and of course, you know the rules. Callers go to the head of the line immediately, and we're linked into the office so that we know. So all is well, given the circumstances. Anyway, this week, what a week. It was another unpleasant thing that happened out there, but it was anticipated, and the market did not go absolute crazy. But I'll let Adam take over and describe the mayhem.
Actually, I think there was a lot less mayhem this week than there has been in recent weeks. It was not nearly as volatile out there as we've seen over the last few weeks. But there's a common misconception around volatility that it's a negative. It's always down. But that is not true. When volatility goes down, stocks can go down or up. But in this case, they went down even though volatility fell. So it's kind of a misnomer to tie the two, to volatility and negative performance together, when in reality, it can go the opposite way, as it did this week. There were a few winners this week, but there was one that was pretty clear. The ETF USO that tracks the price of oil gained almost 32% on the news that Russia and Saudi Arabia would cut production. Now, this isn't a done deal, but Trump tweeted about it and sort of implied that he had brokered the deal. We'll see what happens. They have called a meeting, and there is some optimism out there, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, they're going to have to do more than curtail it a little bit to get the supplies down.
Yeah, there is a serious oversupply of oil in the market right now, partly due to the global shutdown of everything, partly due to overproduction. So it's kind of a double-edged sword at this time, but it can't continue, as I've read in several places, that reserves are absolutely overflowing and they have nowhere to put it. So they're going to have to make some changes, I think. So the Treasury market held up pretty well this week, as it has all year. It's been the preferred safe haven for investors during this crisis. Treasuries posted modest gains this week, but are up substantially this year. Gold, on the other hand, is not acting as the safe haven it once did during other times of crisis. It posted a gain of about 7% this year, but the bulk of that actually came before the stock market peak on the 19th of February. Silver, on the other hand, has not performed very well. It's posted a 22% loss since the 19th of February when stocks peaked. So a little bit different than previous crises. You would expect gold would have been off the charts by now, but
it's
supposed
to be negatively correlated to the market, but it's not. It's working in lockstep.
Yeah, and silver is really in lockstep with the S&P.
Yeah, it is.
So
track them, it's something to watch.
Very unusual behavior on the precious metals. U.S. equities were lower this week, although there were some positive days in between the losses. In fact, early Friday, stocks traded higher. They were actually green before selling off into the close, really not a surprise, as Steve mentioned earlier. The trend this recently has been for investors to sell into weekends because the headlines, there's just about a 95% chance that they're going to be negative, and no one wants to, the serious investors don't want to hold stocks when they think that Monday might open lower, or traders don't anyway. Long-term investors will hold, but the traders aren't going to hold over the weekend, and that was exactly what happened this week. The headlines just, barring something like a vaccine or a treatment really showing promise, although there has been some treatments that have shown a little promise, nothing's really known yet, but barring something really good there, the news is going to continue to pump out negative headlines like it's their job, and that's really because it is their job right now. TV news rating shows are up. The ratings are through the roof. Internet sites are seeing heavy, heavy traffic. And the media has basically whipped people into a full-on panic by talking about everything negative 24/7. And that's what drives their business model. So the more hysteria that they can create, the more people watch, and the better their ratings are, and the more money they make. So it's really just a negative, self-perpetuating cycle. My personal preference has to just to not watch the news. I can't do it anymore. I read through the headlines and pick the stories that I feel are factual and important. But if you watch the news, all you're going to hear is they cherry pick the worst stories and the ones that fit a we're all going to die narrative. And so just try not to do that. Just a word of caution.
Yeah, I took that stance back in the early 2000s with the Sunday shows, as they call them, you meet the press and all that. And I was thinking one day that one of the guys had really messed up. And I said, I'm tired of this. I just realized how tired of this I am. And I've never watched one since, and my life has improved immeasurably.
It really does. I mean, you can feel it as a physical weight on your shoulders sometimes, the amount of negative press that is out there. It makes things very scary, and what they're not telling you is about the number of people recovering and the number of mild cases versus severe cases and hospitalizations. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in a minute, and it might help keep things in perspective a little bit. The other thing is that the mental toll that kind of thing takes on people is astounding. We personally know some family members of ours, friends of family members, that have already committed suicide during this crisis, because of all the negativity and that they had other issues, but this sort of put it over the top. And I think that kind of story is something that you're going to hear a lot more of by the time this is all said and done. This times of crisis really take a toll on people mentally, so try and stay well.
Yeah, and you know what? If we let this whole economic shutdown thing happen, it's going to get 100 times worse.
Well, happen for too long.
Yeah. But this is a scary time, politically speaking, because as I put in a blog here recently, each time they exercise more and more control, the next time it gets easier to do, and we have to stay vigilant. And I'm not saying just go out and shop and be reckless. I am saying be very, very careful that when they haven't even spent number three yet, now they're building number four, and you can count on trillions of dollars there too. And a lot of it's going to be to reshape the world as we know it, and it will not be good for those of us who are investors, that's for sure. But there's a lot more good stuff too. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk about jobs after the break, and we're going to tell you some things about the attitude of people in the market right now that just might surprise you. It is not like you would necessarily think out there. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And we are holed up here in our little cubby hole and plodding through as we have been for a couple of weeks, and obviously will be for a couple more weeks. But I'm very grateful to Alan being on the board so we can do the show live, because you know how critical it is to us to not have reruns. There's little in the world that bores me more than a rerun radio show. You make it a rerun financial radio show, you really got trouble. All right, there is a trivia question, as always, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm.
You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And not every stock market in the world has done all that badly in the first quarter. Ours was down 20% on our S&P 500, right on the mark, which makes it officially a bear market, of course, but that's not my point. The fifth best first quarter in the world was, you might be surprised, China. Name any one of the four countries that beat China in the first quarter. And I'm telling you, you're going to have a troublesome time with this one.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, sometimes I like to make them easy, make sure somebody will win. Not necessarily today. All right, back to Adam and I were just talking on the break quickly about the jobs numbers and how meaningless they are, but the comments on them are not. But more about the market. Adam, will take it away.
Yeah, a little bit of good news, a little bit of market good news, and a little bit of virus good news. But first, the month of April is historically one of the best months of the year. Actually, it is historically the best month of the year for the Dow. Over the last 20 years, the Dow has been up 80% of the time in April with a return of 1.89% on average. And after monthly drops of 10%, which we just saw, the S&P has closed higher 90% of the time in the following 9 months, with average gains of more than 17%. So basically what that says to me is that, in general, it's darkest just before the dawn. And there might be a little bit of hope out there that the market will turn around, which I actually firmly believe that. I don't know the time frame that which it will take, but I really think that we will bounce back out of this thing stronger than what the headlines would suggest today. Because everyone, as I mentioned before, is selling doom and gloom, and that is the narrative today. But that will change, and things will get back to normal. But it's going to take a while, clearly.
I'll take that one step further. After a quarter being down 20% or more in the market, there has never been a year following that the market was up less than 10%. And the last time this happened, back in Q4 of 2008, we were up 23.5% a year after that. So there's hope.
Do we have a caller? Mike.
Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great.
I got a question for you.
Huh?
Where I work at, I'm in a 401k, and it's a target date account. I can't move anything right now because I'm not old enough.
Okay.
What do I have any options? Because I asked them what I should be doing, and the people that are managing it, you know, they won't tell you. And they said, That's not their job. They put you in a fund that you want to be in. But, you know, I'm in like a 2045 target account.
How old are you?
I'm 58.
Okay. Man, not outrageous.
How long do you plan on working?
As long as I can.
Okay.
Good.
I don't need a lot of time. You know, when I'm not good at building and this, that, and the other. So as long as I can work, I'm going to work.
One more question. Are you maxing out your contributions?
Yes. I'm putting in like 18%.
I was hoping you'd say no, and I was going to tell you to max them out.
I want to go higher each year. My goal is to go 2% higher every year.
Good. Now, you're doing everything right. Just keep buying. Keep contributing. Keep buying. Don't move it. And let time do what it does, the great healer.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to say is that if you were going to retire in a couple of years, being in a target date 2045 plan is probably a bit too much risk for you. But since you plan on working, there's really nothing wrong with that. And the contributions you make today, by the time you actually do retire and take the money, there's a very good chance that they will be worth a lot more than what you put in today.
Yeah, but you're going to have a good percentage of equities in there. And equities, if you've got 5 years or more to leave them alone, are very good to you in the long run. So you've got that time. You expressed it because you are going to work. I say you're doing it exactly right.
Okay, I sure do appreciate it.
You want to take a shot at the trivia question?
No.
I don't blame you. I didn't set it up to be too exciting, I'm afraid.
Nice try. I appreciate it, though.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Y'all have a good day. Bye.
You too.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about some positive trends that I personally have been watching and reading about in terms of the virus and where it's going. These are definitely not things that you will see on the mainstream media or even on the big websites. The thing is, locally, Jacksonville has not been hit very hard with the virus. Now, I will put a yet in there because I don't know what's going to happen, but we have 323 cases as of yesterday total in the entire county of over 800,000 people that live here. So when you look at the pure numbers, they're not huge, especially compared to some other metro areas that have been hit much harder. Yesterday we saw 24 new cases in Jacksonville. The previous day was 28. And the day before that was the highest that we've seen at 53. So that makes a few days in a row where the number of cases that have been found has gone down. Overall, there's been 37 people hospitalized and 9 deaths. The numbers are really not staggering. The other thing is we don't know very much about people that have recovered from the virus in Florida. You just can't find the information. Early on in this, you could find that information, but right now it's very difficult to locate who's recovered. But we know Tony Baselli, the former Jaguar, was diagnosed with the virus, admitted to the ICU, spent a few days in the ICU, was pretty bad, and then he recovered, and I recently saw an interview with him that said he had a negative test for the virus. So he needs to have one more test come back negative, and then he's considered healed. But those numbers aren't showing up anywhere.
And Angie's got it, too. I just heard last night.
Okay.
Poor thing.
Yeah, that's terrible, and I wish them the best. But the fact is that there's recoveries out there that we're not seeing. So why are they not talking about that, and why is that not public information when you can go anywhere and find out the number of people that have ever had the virus? You should also know the people that have recovered. Yeah, I feel like that's very important.
How should I put this gently? It's a leadership choice. How's that? And you can read anything into that you would like to read into that.
The other good news is that it appears that several other states have started to flatten the curve. So the ones that are widely considered to have done this are Washington, California, Massachusetts, and even New York. Now, that you won't hear about anywhere, but this was not from me. This is actually from an article I found in a very reputable news site. But I had to read almost to the end to find it. So we're actually starting to see the social distancing measures work. And it's a real thing, and we've seen it in other countries like South Korea, and even Italy at this point is looking like their new cases daily has gone way, way down over the last week or two, and that is very, very encouraging for places like New York and in Dade County especially. They've seen higher new cases every day for quite a while now. So the fact that the measures work is very encouraging for the places that are on the front edge of that curve.
Yeah, my theory is it's good to live in a city with an airport, but the bigger and the more international flights they have going in and out of there, the worse the city's going to fare in this thing. I just feel like there's a whole bunch of people that came into this country unknowingly spreading it around.
Oh, for sure. That's absolutely how that happened. You can be asymptomatic, apparently, for the entire time you have the virus in some cases, and then also before you start to show symptoms can be up to 2 weeks, even though the average I've read is somewhere between 5 and 6 days. But that's still a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time.
That you're able
to spread. How many people do you encounter on a normal day when people are out in a 5-day period? It's unbelievable how much contact
these days,
they have with people.
Almost none, but in normal circumstances.
Yeah, a month ago?
Yeah, a lot.
When 2 months ago, when this was really swinging into place here, then people were out and about. And not their fault, but we're paying a heavy price for it as a society. But I think we're doing the right thing. We just have to remember that one of these days it's got to ease up.
Yeah, and then there I have read some concerns about Florida as well, because we didn't do the statewide lockdown until just recently. But there were a lot of local measures in place prior to that. So I the numbers in Florida are not staggering if you look at our compared to our population, but they are concerning because they have been growing daily for quite a while now. So we really want to see the net number of new cases start to get smaller and smaller, and to a point where you're actually getting less new cases today than you did yesterday. That's the goal.
Yeah, but if you want to hear something that's kind of interesting and a little bit counterintuitive. What went on in the market this week? Guess what was selling off? Bond mutual funds and bond exchange-traded funds. Guess where a bunch of the money was going? Into ETFs for equities. $500 million went into equity ETFs and funds this past week. And that means, as always, you've heard us say this over and over, the market is thinking 6 to 9 months ahead of where we are. And they're starting to buy now because they know what direction it will go as soon as all of this is cleared up to the point where we get back to some semblance of normal. So in case you're wondering, also, to back that up, the sentiment in the market gained on the bulls, lost on the bears, and increased 1% on neutral. Those signs are not panic signs, folks, and that's why none of us should panic. All right, we have to take another break and pay some bills. We will be back very shortly with more concepts and calls. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have our trivia questions sitting out there yet. Name any one of the four countries that had a better first quarter this year than did China. And they might surprise you, as they surprised us. Okay, we have some just miscellaneous information that's sort of important for people. The thing that's on people's mind probably more than anything now is the stimulus package. How do you get yours, assuming you are due yours, which means if you're not income limited out? But there was a big hole in this plan earlier because they decided that they're going to use IRS records and the bank numbers that you give them if you get a refund. Well, A, not everybody gets a refund, and two, not everybody files income tax returns, and there was a gaping hole in there that were going to cause people to be delayed a lot, have to go find it themselves, and so on. Well, all of a sudden, part of us who will get them, probably not me, but who knows. Anyway, we have a little reprieve this past week where somebody woke up one day and said, well, even if you don't file tax returns or get refunds, the Social Security system can still use their records to give you your stimulus check. They are doing that now. So I was ready here in the early part of the week to give everybody a warning to get on this and start getting it for themselves, when all of a sudden I read that article and was greatly relieved that they're going to do that. Now, if you're not getting Social Security or disability checks or something like that, then you got another problem, and you're going to have to go find how to do this. And you might, if you have a tax preparer, say, why don't we file one right away? You might go on TurboTax and just file a simple one. Just get something out there. The quicker you get that thing in, the quicker you're going to have money in the bank. And that's very important if you're one of the affected people who has lost out on income for the quarter. So just know that it's better than it was, but it's not perfect yet. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. People who travel, at least when they're allowed. Personal information of 5 million Marriott customers was breached. Well, again and again, this seems to happen. Businesses get breached. The data that was taken for 5 million people include names, dates of birth, mailing addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, loyalty account numbers, point balances, some personal details, and any partnerships or affiliations. So they have set up, if you can probably Google or Bing this or whatever, they have a dedicated website, so Marriott Data Breach website, and it has all of the things that you can and might need to do to be sure you are not affected. This was kind of ironic in that it was about 18 months ago when the big breach happened, 500 million customers of the Starwood brand, and the irony to me is that's owned by Marriott. Can't make this stuff up, folks, but I guess when you're good, they come after you. Hackers know where the money is. That's it. All right, next. Tax filers. You had previously heard, I imagine, that April 15th is not going to be the day this year. It was put off until July 15th. Well, that's wonderful, but you still had to pay your money. So they came back and they changed that again. They've actually done a couple things right. I am praising the government a little bit, except I would have done it in the first place. But I digress. You had to pay what you owed for last year on April 15th, even though you didn't have to file and you don't need an extension this year. But they changed that. You do not have to put your money in now until July 15th. But, as only government can do, they made it a little weird again. Those of you who are, for instance, self-employed and so on, know about the quarterly 1040 ES payments you have to make. There was a question at first whether the first one, by the way, they're made, just so everybody knows. This sounds a little weird, but it's true. April 15th is the first one, then June 15th, then September 15th, and then January 15th. Those are the four you make for any given year, not a calendar year because of the January. But this one, the April 15th, not only do you not have to pay the money you owed for last year, you do not have to pay your first quarterly installment until July 15th. However, you do have to pay your second quarterly installment on June 15th. So count with me to four, two, one, three, four. Got it? Only government.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The other good news around that is that if you haven't made a IRA deposit yet, and want to for last year, you actually got an extension on making that deposit.
So that never happens. You can file an extension on your tax return.
You don't.
But April
15th
is your IRA. Now, you can do it with a 401k or something like that, a personal K, or a SEP plan or something. You always could get that deferral, but you never could for an IRA.
Right, but now you have that. So if you don't have a use for your stimulus check and you're getting one and you want to be a responsible saver for your retirement, this gives you a little bit of opportunity to do that.
Yes, and you know that you can direct your refund to go into an IRA, and they will do that for you. There is a place in your tax return. So if you find out you're getting a couple grand back, you can say, I want this sent not to my bank account but to my IRA. And if it's a deductible IRA, it actually saves you money right on the spot. So all good news there, except that goofy part about 2134.
Yeah, well,
I got to figure out.
I mean, only the government could come up with a plan of quarterly taxes that aren't actually due quarterly.
Yeah, the other funny thing about quarterly taxes, there are some safe havens. You can pay in 110% of what you paid in last year, and it's safe. You can pay in, I think it's 100% of what you actually owe, and you'll be safe.
Right, although you won't know
but
what
you
owe.
But how do you know?
Yeah, so, whatever.
Yeah. I tell you, if you spend enough time around taxes, next time you see your CPA, give him or her a big hug and say, I don't know how the heck you do that.
No doubt about it.
All right, what's next on my big list here? We got the...
So real quick, I wanted to talk about which states have been hit hardest with jobless claims. And as you might expect, some of the bigger population states are towards the top because this is based on pure numbers, not numbers per resident. So California has seen a total of over a million jobless claims, initial claims. Pennsylvania is actually in second, then New York. That's a little bit, you would have thought that would be flip-flop, but New York has seen half of what California has seen at 446,000 versus a million. And then Michigan, Texas, Ohio, and then Florida down there at 301,000. And the bulk of those actually came in week one, and week two only saw 74,000. So kind of surprising a little bit in that data, I would have thought. Or sorry, that's reversed. The first week was 74,000. The second week was 227,000. But still, for as populous of a state as we are, there are some states with smaller populations that are actually ranking higher in terms of job losses. Interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's going to mean long run, because what's really been hammered so far is the hospitality industry and the cruise industry, the airlines, all that. And you got to wonder with the population percentage in Florida if it isn't going to get a little worse here before it gets a little better.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about companies like Disney. I don't believe they did layoffs when they closed the park right away. Now, I've read recently that some furloughs are coming.
which is pretty much inevitable. But I don't. That's probably kept our numbers looking a little bit better because that's a major, major employer in the state that's had to shut down operations.
There's a fine line between getting furloughed, getting fired, getting laid off, losing a job, counting a job as gone if you've technically got one but you're not working on it right now. Statistics can be manufactured, manipulated, or reported, or it just depends what you're trying to capture when you do it. So there's no telling. I think Florida's in for some tough times, and I hope we can get part of it running before too long.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really hard to project how we'll come back from this because this is so unprecedented. My favorite term that I've heard to describe this is that we've put the economy in a medically induced coma.
Yeah, I heard that. And I thought it was pretty appropriate.
Exactly what we've done. We're doing it in order to save lives and save people in the long run. But in the short run, we're doing something that's just completely unnatural.
If you have received a stimulus check in the mail, and it's more than $1,200, it is not real. How about that? A bunch of people around here have been getting stimulus checks, and it gives you an address to take it to cash it. You get there, it's a used car lot, and the $3,000 that they gave people was a discount on a used car. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for the phishing. It will hit your account if you have one, and if not, then you start looking. All right, don't go anywhere. We've got one more little break to take, and we'll be right back. This is the Vanley Financial Hour.
What?
Welcome back to the Vanley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. There are some types of businesses that are absolutely necessary, and that's one of them, according to me. You can call Troy at 662-9794, and that, of course, is a local in the 904 number. Just a quick reminder, the trivia question's out there. Name any one of the four countries that had a better first quarter than China. Obscure, to say the least. All right, what do you do if you lose your job? Well, I have the three fundamental rules for you of what happens if you find yourself without a job temporarily or whatever right now, and they go like this. Communicate, communicate, and communicate. Landlords, mortgage holders, utility providers, all those things, car loans, whatever it is, if you start running out of income, go to them before they come to you. And they're probably going to listen because they know what's going on out there and they know how many people are in desperate straits. And you aren't, if say you're a renter, you aren't going to see landlords shopping quickly for a new renter right now. So work out a deal, pay them back eventually, but delay, defer, whatever the best you can and keep yourself alive. You need three things to live, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. And if you want to go to work, better have a car, too. So just a little upfront info there. You be the protagonist here. The energetic people will survive much more than the ones who wait for good things to come to them by doing nothing. All right. Now, what can you do that's positive right now? If you're an investor, and we were talking about this in the break a little bit, what has happened in the market has been devastating to almost any asset class that you can think of. But what's really been hit hard are a couple things, one of which is the energy sector. And it's going to be down for a while, quite a while, probably. We've got a caller, so excuse me. Rules are rules to the top. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Leroy. How you doing?
Hey, Leroy. Good. How are you?
Well, I'm just going to take a wild guess, and this I don't research anything. I just guess.
So okay.
I would say Brazil.
That would be a wonderful guess, but it would be incorrect.
That's what I figured. But you know, if you don't guess, you can't win, right?
It's a good shot at it, and I like your thinking. But I'll give him another hint. It's even more obscure than that.
Yeah, that probably figures, but oh well. I will listen for your answer here in a couple of minutes, okay?
Sure. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Have a good day.
And that reminds me, too, anyone who's waiting on a card who's won the trivia contest, we have a list. We're waiting on some new cards. They were attempted to be dropped off today, but I'm drawing a blank on the
I'm not sure what you're... Our door was locked?
Yeah. they went to the studio, and we weren't there. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's going to be that way.
I will get them soon, and I will get them out to everybody who's waiting.
Well, he knows my home address. You can drop him here.
All right. But don't think we keep track of that stuff, because we do. Oh, and by the way, another quick note. Mourning the passing of Bill Withers. Remember Bill Withers? Most of us of any age do. And what a great voice, and what a great song, Lean on Me. So we'll miss him. All right, well, what do you do when you get kicked in the butt, or at least your investments do? Well, there are some things to think about. If you are holding an IRA or 401k or something like that, and inside of there you got something that got absolutely pummeled and thwapped, and we're talking about some of these things down 50, 60, 80%, you don't have to just sit there and wait. You might consider doing a Roth conversion on some of your assets. A Roth conversion can take place on actual assets or on an amount of cash that you specify, or a whole account or whatever. But think about this now. If you've got some holdings, I'm using the energy sector just because it's so obviously down. But if you've got some holdings in energy that you bought a long time ago and they fell so fast you really didn't want to get rid of them, might even still be getting dividends, then if you convert those to a Roth, you will pay only your ordinary income tax on the amount that's converted, which could be down 60, 80%, whatever, from what you paid. So if you take a small percentage of the cost of it times a small percentage of your tax bracket, your marginal tax bracket, you can own those things for a very, very low cost. And as they come back up inside the Roth, that Roth will never be taxable to you, the income nor the capital gain on it. This is the ideal time to look at a Roth conversion for anybody who has the ability to transfer some things out of there. Now, it was ideal before I brought this up, and I'm going to add to that. There is no required minimum distribution for 2020 out of any of those accounts. So you probably, if you're of the age where these things happen, 70 and a half to 72, then what's going to happen is you don't have to take that. And because of that, your marginal income is going to be a lot lower than you planned on. It might make it a double whammy good for doing a Roth conversion of certain assets. So don't think you got to sit here idle and do absolutely nothing to help yourself, because there are things you can do financially that might pay really, really great long-term benefits. Remember also on that Roth, as long as you're alive and until someone inherits it, there are no required minimum distributions on that ever, including next year.
The other thing you can do is to do a rebalance. And a lot of people think about a rebalance in a rising stock market as selling stocks and buying bonds, but that works in the other direction as well. So if your stock portfolio has fallen and if you had a target of 60% stocks and 40% bonds, and your stocks have fallen down to make that 50-50, you can actually sell some bonds right now and buy some stocks and get it back in balance. And then when stocks rise again, you just rebalance it back into the other direction. And what that does, it actually helps you amplify your gains over when the recovery happens. And then once you rebalance into your proper target portfolio, you will see that you've actually outperformed what you would have done had you not done that. So
takes me back to the opening segment of the show when I was talking about the cash flows this past week, leaving bonds and going into stocks. I don't know that you could say one causes the other, but it's certainly indicative of what good practice is out there. And hey, why not take advantage of it? I did a couple Roth conversion things this week and been thinking about it a lot lately, thinking, you know, that's a strategy that we could all look at and see if it's for us. It's not for everybody, but you just never know.
The other thing, the other consideration that you want to make is when you're looking at whether or not to take an RMD this year, since you don't have to, is your tax bracket. So we are still in a time of almost unprecedented low taxes. We went through this exercise with a client this week. They called and asked if they should still be doing their RMD. So we ran the numbers. We looked at last year's tax return and looked at what their projections were for this year. And we realized that they were solidly in the 12% bracket. And that RMD, whether they took it or didn't take it, wasn't going to change their tax bracket. So we decided we should take it to take advantage of only paying 12% on that money. And not only that, but I think in November we're probably going to do a Roth conversion strategy for them to not only to take advantage of more of that 12% tax bracket.
Mm-hmm. It'll pay you back forever if you're the kind that doesn't need to overdraw your RMDs every year. It's a very good idea. We call it income planning, which is part of the six or seven different ways that we divide personal financial planning. And this year, you got to have some fun with this stuff, because let's face it, we're all miserable, right? So if you can find some things that are fun, because you can look at it and say, oh, look what's going to happen to me. And especially, Adam got the key right there, that 12% tax bracket. Every time you can stay below the next one, stay in the 12 or below, you get all of your qualified dividends and capital gains for the year for absolute free.
And I did want to say, too, that we have closed our office temporarily, but we are operating out of our homes. And we just sent out a letter to all of our clients this week, which said that they can make an appointment online to schedule a phone meeting or a go-to meeting with us in this quarter. And that goes for anyone who's interested in hiring a financial planner right now, because these times do actually increase your need for a financial planner. So if you're interested in meeting with us, don't let our current situation hold you back. We'd love to meet with you. Give us a call or schedule a go-to meeting with us, and we'll see you virtually.
The countdown: Slovakia, Denmark, Botswana, and the big winner with an astounding gain of 0.3% for the quarter, Ukraine. I told you it was obscure.